Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemeczek, and we are continuing our topic of spiritual warfare. We kind of set it up in the prior show, and right now we're in the middle of discussing a famous homily that Archbishop Fulton Sheen gave in the 40s or the 50s when he was on the radio and on the television. And it's interesting because you should go to the link. You can find it on YouTube. It's a homily about the spiritual battle by Fulton Sheen. Or you can find it where I found it at romancatholicman.com/the battle lines are not political, not right versus left. This is Christ versus Antichrist. Okay? You can, you know, and if we have show notes, we might put them on there. So this is Venerable Fulton Sheen talking a long time, at least a generation ago, about the topic that we're talking about, which is spiritual warfare, about how many people just live their whole lives in ignorance of the fact that they're in the middle of a battleground, that the planet Earth is a battlefield. And it's a battlefield between the forces of good and the forces of evil. And as baptized Christians, we are actually in the army, and we're on the side of the forces of evil. You know, the pictures that come to me are always those beautiful pictures out of the Lord of the Rings, you know, with the final battle and the army of the good people and then the army of the bad people. And of course, it makes it so much easier to see who's good and who's bad, because the ugly people are really bad, or the bad people are really ugly, right?
And they always lose.
The end is coming out of their heads. They're drooling. They've got all kinds of, you know, It's just dreadful. But in our day, the enemy is not a drooling orc. The enemy is a drooling demon. And that should not fear. That should not make us fear, though, because the only fear we should have is the fear of the Lord. Right? As Christians, exactly, as Catholic. Right. And that's what? A sober recognition of who we are.
Well, our faith arms us for the conflict. We have to understand that all the tools that are necessary to be in this battle are available to us, and we just need to take advantage of it and, use the sacraments, be well informed, have scripture study. I mean, you can't go into this battle not knowing who the enemy is and the tactics of the enemy and how to overcome it.
That's right. This is what Fulton Sheen says. The battle lines are clearly drawn and the basic issues are no longer in doubt. From now on, men will divide themselves into two religions. The conflict of the future is between an absolute who is the God-man, that's Jesus, and an absolute which is the man-God. Between the God who became man and the man who makes himself God. Between brothers in Christ and comrades in the Antichrist.
It's so well said, because, it seems today in society, man is the measure of all things. We have so much that we can look at in terms of technology and everything, that the artificial intelligence, that it seems like nothing is unavailable for man to do. Mm-hmm. But what is he going to do with it, and how is he going to use it? And that's what's disturbing, because it's all secular. It's to control society, to limit birth, to eliminate the necessity of a family with a father and mother, and the way that the Holy Family is structured. I mean, there's just so many attacks against how we in society view things today, and how words are being changed and their meaning. So it's, you know, this is all a part of it. It's the propaganda that's out there.
Yeah, it certainly is. This is a little zinger from Fulton Sheen. Moral truth is vindicated. So moral truth, right? The one thing that we are being told today does not exist, right? Or is subjective. You know, my moral truth is different than your moral truth. There is no absolute right and wrong, right? So moral truth is vindicated by the ruin that follows when it has been repudiated. Does that describe our society today?
Totally.
To a T, right?
To a T.
Let me repeat that. Moral truth is vindicated by the ruin that follows when it has been repudiated, renounced, stomped down on the floor, thrown out with the garbage.
That's right. That's exactly right.
The things that are actually the true moral things are the things that you're going to notice when they're absent.
Well, we're seeing the consequences, the fruits of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The ruin. Mm-hmm. The ruin.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it was good fruit. I'm just saying the fruits of all of that.
look at the consequences of just the sexual revolution in the 1960s. I mean, where we are now, 50, 60 years later.
That's right.
What kind of consequences it has wrought in society in terms of disintegration of the nuclear family, pushing back if people get married at all, if they get married at all. 75% of all birth in African American populations are without a father, and the Caucasian population is pretty much almost 50% of all births are in a non-nuclear family. So what is this going to do? I mean, you know, going forward, it's going to completely rewrite the idea of what it means.
Well, what it means to be male and female. You can decide what you're going to be on any given day, and it's totally accepted. You know, just the scientific truths of the DNA of a man and a woman is being challenged.
Mm-hmm. Biologists.
Absolute scientific truths are being held up as being questioned and changed, and it's what that person simply believes it should be. Mm-hmm. And it's destructive. We're seeing the fruits of all of that. And you know that the church is a community. It's a mystical body of Christ. And, you know, we need community. And I think what we're seeing in society today is separating everyone. And with social media, you're in the background. You're just by yourself. You're seeing things and you're reacting. But you don't have that support. There's something to be said for, like, the unity of the family is being a community. The unity of workers or whatever career you're in or whatever things that you're doing in terms of perhaps volunteering for the church. I mean, we all need to interact with others because we're all called to raise each other up. And it's kind of disappearing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, but you know what? Let me just, I think throughout what we say, we should say, you know, yesterday I started the talk by saying God exists. God is there. God is the essence of existence. And the reason that you live is because he has given you your next breath. God is love. And then God loves each one, every one of us. He loves you. I had to keep repeating that through the talk because I think there's a way in which people can really, if they're not, you know, can be maybe intimidated a little bit. And so the idea is that when God is love, then even all this evil stuff that we're seeing, we're commissioned to be in the battle. At least we know our place. You know, I think, I don't know about you, but one of the worst things for me is seeing a problem and not really knowing if I should address it. How should I address it? What's going on? Is it my business? Is it not my, you know? Mm-hmm. And in this case, it is so clear that we, through confirmation and baptism, have been commissioned to be soldiers. That's what confirmation is about. It's confirming the deposit of the Holy Spirit in you and ordaining you in a certain way to be in the army of Christ. I mean, in the old rite, the bishop actually would give a little symbolic slap across the face of the person being confirmed to confirm the fact that they were in the army now. You know, you're under orders, that kind of thing. And I think we've lost that whole dimension.
You know, Lavinia in The Catholic Warrior by Robert Abel, when he deals with passivity, he says, when a warrior fails to occupy his spiritual house, there are plenty of trespassers who will inhabit the property in his absence. Passivity is like going on vacation, leaving all the windows open. When a man lets his spirit wander or fails to use his spirit to praise God in spirit and in truth, there are plenty of forces at work in the world who will help guide his attention. And we know what that attention is going to go to. Nothing that would be profitable for our soul.
That's a great quotation. Do you want to tell our listeners what the book is that you're quoting from?
It's The Catholic Warrior by Robert Abel.
That's a great, very, can I see the cover?
Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it. That's so cool.
I've had this for years. It's a wonderful book, very easy read. And it gives you great guidelines. And you have to know where you are in this battle, that it does exist. And mm-hmm. and how can we help? How can little old me help? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, so, you know, it's good for us to pause just to give us reassurance. And also another thing, Fulton Sheen says, evil is self-defeating. He said, it's not for the church that we fear, you know, even though it might, as Benedict XVI and even Cardinal George of good memory used to say, it might be smaller. You know, the church might become smaller, but it'll become more consistent anyway. You know, there'll be the people who stick around are the people who really mean it, right?
Right.
So we're not fearing for the church, but for the world. We tremble not that God may be dethroned, because that's impossible, but that barbarism may yet reign. that's true, right? I mean, as we lose sight of the light that God gives, we become barbarians. We're just stumbling around trying to make it all up from scratch again, right?
Well, when you use the word barbarian, we used to say, you know, what the Romans did, where they would have a child, didn't want the child, they put it outside and let the child just die. What are we doing now? How many children are being aborted every day, where we're killing children in the womb? That's barbarian.
Mm-hmm. And those are the civilized Romans, you know, so-called.
Right. And we're calling ourselves civilized. It's incredibly stupid that anyone can accept abortion as being a choice. Mm-hmm. It just isn't. Life is too precious. And when you mentioned about how God loves us in your talk, where you kept reminding everyone, his love is perfect for each one of us. Mm-hmm. He doesn't love you more than me or someone else. Mm-hmm. His love is perfect for one of us. And we have to keep that in mind. No one, you know, St. Peter and Paul didn't get any extra love.
It
was perfect for them just as it is for us. So we have to hold on to that and believe in that.
And they didn't get any more special grace than we have received either.
No.
You know, we're all equally locked and loaded at birth, right?
That's right.
Or before birth.
That's right.
With
and his desire for us to be with him is that's all he wants.
Yeah.
And we just have to keep saying yes and figure out a way to draw closer. I mean, we've got all the tools. We just need to use them and be aware of them.
That's right. That's right. And a famous line from Francis de Sales, I may be quoting him wrongly, but I think in Introduction to the Devout Life, he says something like, why does God allow, because there was somebody would ask, why does God allow sin? I mean, you know, what the heck? Why does he allow even venial sin? And his answer is great, because he says, God allows imperfection so that we may grow in perfection. God permits evil so that his creatures might be honed and tested and refined and trials, etc. And you know, Hebrews, quoting Deuteronomy, quoting, you know, all that thing about how God disciplines those whom he loves because he wants them to be purified and strengthened and to continue to exercise their spiritual muscles to continue choosing him. Right. So remember, this is not a battle between the right or the left. It's not a battle between up and down. It's not a battle between the different cultural views. It really is spiritual warfare. It has nothing to do with what party you belong to. It has nothing to do with how much education you have or where you are in life. Everyone from ages 0 to 100 are enrolled in God's army because there is a conflict. This is how Bishop Sheen concludes this homily. Those who have the faith, so those of us who at least think we have some faith anyway, had better keep in a state of grace. And those who have neither, so neither faith nor grace, had better find out what grace and faith are. For in the coming age, there will be only one way to stop your trembling knees, and that will be to get down on them and pray. So this is not for the faint at heart. But
no.
You know what? Life is not for the faint at heart. Where do we ever get the idea that life was going to be easy and that life that was going to be, you know, a bowl of cherries, and that, as the saying says, right? So that's how I wanted to just kind of introduce even the subject, and we're almost at the end of the second show, because there's a lot of ignorance as to the truth. We have a crisis of identity and a crisis of truth. And as Paul says, we are all blinded and deafened by sin. We don't know where we came from. We don't know who we are. And we don't know where we're going. Right? So those are basic, those are the basic questions of life, right? That's and exactly. A lot of people stop just at, well, I'm comfortable, we're good, my children are fine, you know, and they don't really want to know more, right? Unless they are attacked head on by evil. So I think that's important.
Yes, and there's always hope. There is always hope.
Well, so
we can't ever forget that for anybody, anyone that we worry about.
There's hope. And there's courage. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we need to have courage. This is not for the faint of heart, like I said. I mean, you know, I don't understand how people who are cowards operate because, well, I mean, I'm sure I'm cowardly too, you know, in many opportunities. But the idea that somehow if I put my head in the sand, it'll all go away, you know, that this person will stop doing that and they will stop doing this and then I'll be fine. You know, yes, we are going to be fine, but not because people stop torturing you or because people stop, you know, giving you a hard time, right? Or right. persecuting you or whatever it is, right? So why is it so hard for Westerners to believe the spiritual reality, that there is a spiritual reality? Because we have the pseudo-rationalism and materialism of the Enlightenment, but which starts even earlier. And because of that, we have an aggressive material humanist orientation. And so when you eliminate God as the choice, remember that famous book, Anything Other Than God, like, you know, our society is in dire straits, but, you know, any solution will probably be better than what being a Christian is, right? It's like the last solution. It's funny because you hear conversion stories of people and they'll start out and they'll say, well, you know, I could, you know, I knew there was somebody out there, but then I did went, you know, New Age, and then I got scared because, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then I considered Orthodox, you know, or the Orthodox religion, or I considered Protestant evangelicalism. And then I said, well, maybe I should be an Anglican, or, but it's like the last possible option for anybody who's seeking is very, very seldom the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And yet that is where we are anchored.
Too many rules and regulations, they think, mm-hmm. which is quite the opposite. It gives you total freedom.
Well,
in
look
the
at the
of embracing God through the faith.
Look at the world. Look at all those rules and regulations. We are getting legislated to death. There's so many stupid rules. There's so many. Do you know that a local bakery that I love to death, and you do too, had mm-hmm. to stop baking cakes because the legislature or whoever was, the law was passed that they had to stop using the shortening that they were using in the cakes because of health. Do you know that in New York City, you can't buy a large Coke or an extra large or whatever it's called, extra jumbo, whatever, because the nanny state has to tell you that it's bad for you, you know? And then now there's like legislation being, well, I think it was just probably a symbolic gesture. Somebody in Congress actually tried to pass something limiting social media. The thing is, guns, social media, sugar, fat are neutral in themselves. It's how you use them. And regulating people to death on things that they should know, right? So,
right.
I want to hear people say that they don't want to be Catholic because there's too many rules. Look at where we're living. Look at all the rules. Look at what you can say or not say. I mean, basically, we Christians don't have a right to have any opinion of any kind and say it out loud or say it in the public square. Talk about rules, right?
That's exactly right.
So
you'll be attacked, you'll be labeled, you'll be ostracized.
Exactly.
In today's world, you can lose your job, your position.
You can lose your job. You can. And we've seen that. We've seen examples of that. You know, you can be taken to the highest court of the land, as has occurred in the Supreme Court, just for standing for certain principles. So as we wrap up this show, we might have a couple more on this topic, but we just wanted to kind of break it open for you all out there and just kind of, let's see, you know, look at yourselves. Where are we? Do we really believe that God is, love, and that God loves you? Those are good things to bring to prayer this week. Thank you for joining us.